And in this series, mental health series that we started last week, we need the Holy Ghost to keep from going crazy. Amen. He is a comforter. He is a God. Amen. He's about peace. And so thank you, Lord, for this teaching that's going to go forth this morning. Thank you for your presence, your spirit that we feel. This morning, somebody in this room needs to hear from you. They need to hear from you. They need to feel your presence. We already feel your presence in this room. Our physical body may need healing, but our heart, somebody in this room, your heart may need a touch from on high. And we know in this moment, you're going to do it. You're going to speak to us. You're going to encourage us. You're going to convict us. And you're going to bless us in this time. We love you. We adore you. We're so honored to learn from you this morning. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. So, if the mind of the man breaks, the heart of the family bleeds. The silent battles he loses, the silent battles he loses in his head becomes the loudest war in his home. Look at somebody say, check on him before the whole house pays the price. Men who don't cry end up raising children that scream. A man who buries his pain builds a home on a ticking time bomb. Unhealed wounds become inherited trauma. Somebody say, heal him, save them. Everybody say, heal him, save them. Amen. Obviously, there's generational curses, but I'm glad we're seeing in this room generational blessings. Last week, there was a folk. Clap your hands. Last week, there was a focus, if you were not here, last week there was a focus on the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul. And of course, Pentecost, God filled his apostles with his spirit. But we're focusing on today again, Apostle Paul. Last week there was a focus on Apostle Paul to sort through some messages. Everybody say, sort it out. That was last week's message. Sort it out. We focused on Apostle Paul sorting through some messages from a mailman that did not have good packages to deliver to Paul. So turn to 2 Corinthians 12:7. Paul is still sorting out this week, but today I want to talk about something a little bit different. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, and it reads, ready, set, go. Or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from what? Becoming conceited, I was given a thorn torment me. In order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a messenger, a thorn in my flesh to what? Torment me, to annoy me, to buffet me, to challenge me, to oppose me. So today I want to talk about briefly, if you want to write it down, and I think our students gave you guys an envelope. This represents an envelope. I want to talk about return to sender. Write down return to sender. Everybody say, I didn't order thorns. Say, I didn't order that. Everybody say, I didn't order that. I want to talk about return to, in order to keep me from becoming conceited. I was given what? A thorn in my flesh. What? A messenger of Satan to torment me. This messenger was meant to torment Paul. Why was this person trying to torment or annoy Paul? Everybody say, why? It seems like it was a mental attack that started after Paul's mountaintop experience. The text calls it a surpassingly great revelation. It said, because of these what? Read it. Surpassingly great Revelation. This sounds like going from memory. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all what we ask or think. Because of these surpassingly great revelations, it's the same word in that passage in Ephesians, somewhere in Ephesians. It comes from a Greek word that basically is hyper, but it can be pronounced hyperbole. Everybody write down above. Beyond, surpassing, over the top. Everybody say over the top. Because of these great surpassingly, everybody say over the top. Above and beyond. Paul was exposed to something above and beyond. Everybody say beyond. What Paul was exposed to cannot be seen on the news. Paul didn't turn on the news and get this information. Paul did not go to the library and get this information that God revealed to him in this that he's talking about, that he's lifting up. Because of these great, what? Surpassingly, hyperbole, surpassingly, hyperbole, great in quality and great in magnitude. Please do not miss this. Because God has allowed me to experience something great above and beyond. What happened? What followed? The word in that passage in Ephesians, exceedingly. We like that scripture, right? Because now to him who's able to do what? Exceedingly abundantly. Some translation says exceeding abundantly. Abundantly is what? A lot. But imagine abundantly exceeded. What you get now? You get overflow. Exceeding abundantly. That means exceeding a million. A million is a lot, right? But imagine exceeding a million. Hyperbole. Because of these great, surpassingly, hyperbole. It's over the top. It's extra. It's above and God. We serve above and beyond God. Yeah. Amen. When you connect with God, you're going to get above and beyond. Amen. Amen. When you rock with God, you're going to get what? You're going to get extra. Yeah. You're going to get hyperbole. Paul says, because of these great, surpassingly great revelations, revelation, intel, insight, knowledge, information. 2 Corinthians 12. Paul, who is Paul talking about? He's talking about himself. The great surpassingly revelations can be, it's described in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2. Read it with me. Ready, say, go. This is Paul talking. Look how Paul is trying to act. He's trying to be bold, but he's trying to be, he's trying to be humbled in a not so humble way. It's like he's talking about himself in third person. It's like saying, you know, I know a person. I kind of know a person that just graduated. You know, I know a person that graduated with A and B honor roll. I know a person that graduated from West Oak High School, attending Clemson University. And the person up here saying that is talking about himself, but not trying to. He's trying to say, you know, God's been good. y'all get this? Trying to bring it home. I see you. Well, okay, I'm trying to bring it home. Paul saying, read it with me. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. Yes, you do, Paul. You know. God knows, and I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know. You already said that. But God knows, was caught up to the paradise and heard what? Inexpressible things, things that no one else is permitted to tell. How many God is speaking to you this season? You know God is speaking to you this season. You know he is telling you something that he's not telling somebody else. How does that make you feel? Imagine you being in 12th grade in God, and your next door neighbor is in second grade. How does that make you feel? Imagine you have been delivered and the rest of your family is still in bondage. How should you walk around your family? I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself. He capping. Except about my weaknesses. But we do got to give it up for Paul, because he is known for taking the low road. He is known for making sure he is balanced, that he is bold. Everybody say, be bold, but balanced. Everybody say, bold and balanced. But after this great mountaintop experience, after this victory, if you will, look what happens next. The scripture that we, our focus scripture. And this is why he says, because of what happened before this scripture, go back, sweets. Because of this, now this happens. This. Because of this, we didn't practice this. Because of this, this. Clap for sweets. That's like a magic trick. Let me do it one more time. Maybe for the people streaming. I'm going to keep going. He said, because of these great, surpassingly great revelations, therefore, in order to keep me from what? Becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh. Write this down, or you can listen to the replay. Number one, the enemy whisper loudest after your biggest wins. After your biggest wins, the enemy whisper the loudest. Number two, victory doesn't end the battle. It starts the enemy smearing campaign. Number three, the devil doesn't fight fair. He attacks your joy after your win. Students in the room, don't be surprised. Be careful. After you've accomplished so much, can I talk to the students? Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Come on, students, say, don't be surprised. Because after the win, you got to guard your joy. Don't let the enemy, number six, rewrite your win. Hell gets loud when heaven celebrates you. Return any negative messages that you may get after your win. Return them back to the sender. Everybody say, return them back to the sender. I forgot her name. It was on my lips. I play pickleball, but everybody playing tennis is coming over to my side, pickleball side. Yeah. She just won yesterday. Yeah, Coco just won. She's on a mountaintop. Mountaintop victories will come with mental health valleys and battles. You hear me? I saw so much this week on social media. I think it was Taraji P. Henson. She said after she was nominated for an Oscar, the phone call stopped coming or something. And then she gave credit to it was Tyler Perry for calling her, being the first person to give her a leading role, I guess years ago when she was nominated for this mountaintop experience. But it seems like following mountaintop victories, there's mental health valleys and battles. There's something that's real. If I be honest, are y'all going to leave me up here by myself and judge me? I'm supposed to say no. Y'all just laughed. There is something that is very real, because God has blessed me. I know a man that has been blessed with at least 2 Stellar Awards. Now, I will boast about that man, but I... And about to be nominated for a third one by accident. Ish. I'm bringing this thing home. I hope nobody just take that clip and say, you got an arrogant teacher up there. There's something very real that I know somebody may identify with. It's called post-achievement letdown. After the high of a big win, people often experience a dip in emotions. The adrenaline fades and there's a strange emptiness. Why are you feeling like that and you just won that award? You just graduated. You just graduated from college. You just got a raise. You just paid a bill. You just got a new house. And you, it's like, you know, 2 years to get this new house. And it's like, I'm in the house. All right. Anybody ever felt that? You got your new outfit. You get in the mirror. It's like, all right. You know, it's just all of this. You get married. I'm not talking about anybody in this room. And then after the honeymoon, you go home. Post-achievement, let the pursuit of the goal, it gave structure. I'm telling you what I know. It gave you purpose. It gave you discipline. It gave you energy. But once it's achieved, that momentum stops suddenly. I'm kind of guilty of, in rehearsals and working with choirs, I don't necessarily like the stage performing. Actually, I like the rehearsals more than the stage because of the process. I would prefer to prepare the singers and get somebody else to switch with me to be in front of them during showtime. That's just how I'm wired. But I have to complete the assignment, amen? I can't drop the ball. It is also called, write it down, achievement blues. It's also called post-victory void. Post-victory what? Why are you not filled after winning? Why are you not satisfied after buying a house? Why are you not satisfied after accomplishing what you've accomplished? You about to retire. I don't know who. Oh, okay. You revealed yourself. Because of these great, surpassingly great revelations, it's also called the crash after the climb. Wow. More of a clinical sounding type of way to say it is post-success syndrome. What? Post-success syndrome? I'm conflicted because why is me doing well causing me to be weary? There's a scripture that says, be not weary in what? In what? In what? Wait a minute. Be not weary in what? Why is well-doing wearing me down? What's a sign that you're doing well? You're weary. The Bible says, be not weary in what? Not be not weary in wilding out. Not be not weary in just going on the sinning fest. It says, be not weary in what? In well-doing. What do you do when well tries to wear you down? We also got to be careful not to blame every challenge on the enemy. It could be a simple sign of what? I'm doing well. It's wellness fatigue. Be not weary in what? I'm really liking Paul these days. He's got me thinking about men's. Mental health. Amen? Paul is letting us in on, like, man, I got a lot going on in my head. I got a lot. I'm just trying to be bold in God and balanced. Everybody say, be bold in God. Be balanced in God. Amen? Mental thorns are the worst. Hyperbole. It's a metaphor. It's not a physical thorn. Because of these great, surpassingly great revelations, I was giving not a thorn. Amen. Because when I think of thorns, I think of something that was put on a man 2,000 years ago. Amen. A crown of what? Thorns on his head. And blood came out. That same blood that saved every one of us in this room. Amen. It was because of what? Interesting that how something so brutal and so painful is centered around healing. Amen. Do you mean my challenges can heal me? Mental health thorns are the worst. Whatsoever a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The enemy is trying to get in your, he is trying to wrong every right. He is trying to basically redo or smear or erase every victory in your life. He is trying to send messages, negative messages, after a great revelation. Get your envelope up and say, return to sender. How did those thoughts even get there? 2 Corinthians, one more time, 12:7. Because of these great, surpassingly great revelations. I'm almost finished. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Why would Satan, the father of pride, want Paul to be humble? Is it Satan that wants Paul to not be conceited? What was his motive? In order, because that would be counterproductive to the assignment of the enemy to keep Paul from being conceited. Because conceited is related to pride. And the devil wants us full of what? Not the Holy Ghost. Pentecost Sunday, he don't want us full of the Holy Ghost. He wants us full of what? Ourselves. And it just happened to be Pride Month. He wants us to be full of ourselves in order to keep me from becoming conceited. Yes, I've done a lot. You've done a lot. You've done a lot. You've done a lot. In order to keep you from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan. I got a new car and don't have enough money to put gas in it. A new house full of roaches. Not my house. Not my house. A new watch, and it broke 2 days after the warranty went out. So I just wear the watch anyway, broken and all. I'm not talking about my watch. Why would Satan want, the father of pride, want Paul to be humble? What is his motive? Is it the motive of Satan or the motive of God? Because Satan don't want Paul to be bold in God. It's nothing wrong with being confident in God because of these great, surpassingly, hyperbole, over the top. Amen? God is over the top. God is not just better than us. He is better than us, by the way. He is other than us. He's not just better than us. He's what? He's other, over the top, because of these great, surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh. Paul had, write this down, he had answers from heaven, revelations from God, hidden truths and intel. He had this glory of God exposure from another dimension. Because if God is other than us, when he speaks to us, that intel comes from not earth, it comes from where? It's coming from somewhere else. Amen? You ever wore something? I had some shoes the other day, and it was some Uggs. It was just Uggs, but apparently these Uggs are not, you can't get them from around here. When I wear these Uggs, keep me on the watch care. In order to keep you from becoming conceited. Because the compliments, man, where you get them shoes? What are that? I said, man, they just shoes. I said, not these. These dirty. Not these. Don't look down. But when I wear my Uggs, I don't know where I got them from. Because they're not from here. They're not from here. Everybody say, not from here. Paul had this third heaven mountaintop experience. Special intel he was not even permitted to tell. So if anybody told you something juicy and they said, don't tell it. Man, I just won the lottery. I just won $2 billion. Don't tell it. And now you have this special information and you're walking around people and you and the other person in the room looking at each other. Yeah, I know. I know. Yep. $1 billion. I ain't going to tell nobody. How does that make you, if it makes you feel special? Amen. Perhaps the real reason for the thorn from the mailman and his messages was to keep God from getting this kingdom message out. Perhaps because God has a motive and the enemy does have a motive, God allowed the enemy to do what to Job? He allowed it. What did God allow the enemy to do to Job? To wreck his life. So if allowed, Satan has a motive, and Satan is going to do what Satan does: kill, steal, and destroy. So even if God allows Satan to do his thing, amen, you can't get it twisted. And we got to be careful not to blame everything on God. I mean, on Satan. Am I making sense? Because Satan has a motive and God has a motive. But when the enemy is in the mix, he's going to do what he does. Because he didn't want Paul, because of these great, surpassingly great revelations that I'm not permitted to tell. I was given this thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me, to get in my head. To get in my head. Negative messages distracts you from giving God the glory. Period. I can almost stop right there. I got a lot to go, but I could about stop right there. Negative messages distracts you from what? Giving. When negative messages come after this mountaintop experience, don't be surprised, graduates, or those of us that are have had this mountaintop experience. You may just receive a raise, or retirement is coming, a grand opportunity. Don't be surprised because of these great, surpassingly revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from conceited, the enemy, if allowed, he is going to send negative messages to distract you from saying, God did it. Everybody say, God did it. Look at me. God did it. Look at my house. God did it. Look at my grades. Look at my bank account. It's under construction. You may be saying that. But look at my, look at me. I have peace. Everybody say, God did it. You paid a bill. You are debt free. Who did it? You have permission to be confident in God, not conceited. Everybody say, confident, confident. Not conceited. Everybody say, confident in God, confident. Not conceited. Almost finished, because conceit and pride are the perverted cousins of boasting in God. Conceit conceals grace. God doesn't want you to be egotistical. The enemy does. God hates a proud look. The enemy does not want you to boast in God. Because of these great, surpassingly great revelations, I was given a thorn in my flesh. A messenger brings what? Messages. Physical or metaphysical? Metaphysical. He's trying to get in your head. God wants you to be bold in the kingdom, yet balanced with grace. Satan wants to pervert the mountaintop experience. As a church, we want to go to the next level. Amen. Everybody say, new levels? New levels. Perhaps this is where this come from. New what? New levels, new what? What does that even mean? Paul is telling us what it means. New levels, new what? This great worship experience this morning. I will bless the Lord at what? Perhaps why all times? I don't want to come down from the mountaintop, because when I come down from the mountaintop, who is waiting to get in my head, to have me second guessing, to have me wilding out, to have me doing some things that's uncharacteristic? So I like what David said. I will bless the Lord. I think that's a good place to stop. We got some cake to eat and celebrate some more. Amen. David shall continually be in my mouth. Yes. Amen? Amen. His praises shall continually. God inhabits the praises of his what? people. So if you're full of praise, if you're full of the word of God, then it's hard for the enemy to torment you with messages. Amen? Amen. So y'all give God a praise. Come on, 60 seconds, give God a praise. Amen. This is not a start, but a continuation of your spirit being filled with the things of God.
Yes.
Continue this mountaintop experience. I will bless the Lord at all times. Just know, obviously, we got to go to work. I got to go to school, got to work, got to travel. And so in settings like this with music, you know, it's going to be different. And we somewhat come down from this mountaintop experience. And there will be things you see on TV, you see on your phone. Airplane mode is a blessing. Because if I don't hear it, I can't be affected by it. I think the other week, I was on airplane mode for 3 weeks. Try sometimes. I did get on Wi-Fi. 3 weeks because I didn't want to what? It was certain things I know, if I could just screen the calls, if I can not hear the negative messages, I could save some stamps. Look at somebody say, save stamps. How do you save stamps? Because when you return to the sender, if you don't put a stamp on it, it won't get to them. But you can save some stamps by not having anything to send back. So you look over there in the counter, you have a stack of envelopes that you thought you would have needed, but you were preemptive, or you were proactive, then postactive. Acts 18 says, then spake to the Lord to Paul in the night. Everybody say, in the night. By a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in the city. God's got your back. If you enjoyed this teaching, clap your hands. I should end it. You can rest on your feet. That would get us closer to some more celebration. But God is good. God is good. Back to the sender. What are we sending back to the sender? We're sending it back. Everybody say, I didn't order thorns. I did not order this. When you're sitting there being tormented, say, I didn't sign up for this. Everybody say, I didn't order this. I didn't order this pain. I didn't order this, what I'm feeling. And so you send it back. I didn't order this. My marriage did not order this. This is not what God is about. Amen. I didn't order this. Because Luke talks about, I've given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by means hurt you. James says, if you just do this one simple thing, you resist the devil and what? He will flee. Resist the devil and he will flee. So simple. So simple. So if you want to, I'm not like a, I don't know no other word. I'm not a weird guy in the Lord. I don't know what else to say. You know, I'm not trying to get you to do things. Antics is what I'm trying to say. But if you don't have notes on this, and if this represents something you want to send back to Satan, is not in this church. He's not welcome, by the way. But if you want to just bring it up here to the altar after I'm finished teaching, you're welcome to. Amen. And you just bring it to the altar, and it represents, nope, I didn't sign up for this. It's not welcome in my heart, in my home, in my spirit. You can have it. So simple. Resist the devil and he will flee. It's not October, but 50% of bullying stops when you simply resist it, or you just say something. 50% of bullying stops when you just say something about it. It's like so simple steps that has such big impact in life, and that's one of them. Just resist the devil and he will flee. Everybody say, back to the sender. Lord, thank you for this teaching. Thank you for this word. Thank you for what it represents. Thank you for speaking to us this morning. Yes, you are good and your mercy endures forever. We choose good. We choose faith. We choose your spirit. We choose love. We choose right. We choose righteousness. We thank you for your spirit that's going to lead, continue to lead us every single day. I will bless the Lord, oh my soul.